driving the lane. Crosses up Van Vula. Okie doke move and lays it up for two. Lee with a nifty move there.
He could go all the way, and the freshman takes it to the house with no time on the clock. Are you kidding me? He takes it 60 yards. Welcome to Redbird Nation.
And the shoot. She gives it to Katie Broadway. Broadway taking it herself down the west side. No good. But she's going to get her own rebound. Kicks it out. Kansas Sykes for three. No,
she got it.
Kansas Sykes for three.
From local high school action to the birds and the pros, with live interviews, reporting, debate, and discussion, WZND's Red Zone brings you all the sports you can handle each week. The Red Zone starts now, only on 103.3 WZND,
the pulse of Redbird Nation.
Live from the campus of Illinois State University, this is the Red Zone. Good evening, everyone, and thank you so much for joining us here on this really chilly Thursday evening. Anthony Ferretti, Joey Dwyer, Scott Rosala with you guys and fellas. It's, like I said, it's really cold out today.
It's disgusting outside. I don't know. I have not been outside since I got to Fell. That was like at 10:30 this morning. But I'm not excited to go back. I'm starving, but yeah. I have not gotten myself to go outside and get food because I'm so hungry.
Okay. Let me ask you guys a question. What do you think is worse, the cold or waking up and having to clear snow off your car?
Oh, clearing snow off.
Probably clearing snow because that's like a pain to do. And then like your car's
my hands,
cold.
My hands were freezing. And yes. It was the worst because last night that snow was so big and wet. And then this morning it was all frozen on my car. And so I had to brush and then scrape, and it took me like 15 minutes. I was over it.
No, today's my late day. Today I don't have class until 12:35 to 1:50, so I get a little extra sleep, you know.
That's nice.
I look out my window because I can see my car in the parking lot right outside my my window upstairs, and I look down and no snow is on my car, and I'm like, yes, like this is the day. So I go down there. I got like maybe 7-8 minutes to get to class. I'm rushing. It's 3:19. I got to get there. and I walk around to the front of my car. Snow. Covered on the full windshield.
Oh my god.
The only part of the car that had any snow on it
just
was
the windshield,
and it froze over and turned into ice.
Oh.
And I'm out there, I'm like, I got 7 minutes. I'm like, come on, I gotta get there. I'm rushing and trying to get it off, and so that's how I started my day today. It's been a day. It's been a long day, but I'm ready.
I'm ready to talk some sports. It's been a long week. And
yeah.
This is my Friday. This is the last thing I got to do.
Yeah,
and
no,
this is always the best. This is
nice.
The best way to end my week.
I think so. Yeah, I've got no classes on Friday. This is like maybe the second time that's happened. So I'm really excited about that. But yeah, let's get into the show. We got a great show planned. It is cold. And speaking of cold things, hopefully this team can start heating up calm conference
play. That was brutal. That was absolutely.
But he's got a point though. They're 8-17.
Yeah, the men's
like what else you got to
say? ISU men's basketball, not what I would call a hot team, and that's for sure.
They played UNI last night. They had a comfortable lead of around like 7 points on them, and then they trailed. Really couldn't get the lead back, and then they fell to them. And this was a team that the Redbirds beat on New Year's Eve at Redbird Arena, and that's kind of when the slump started. But with that loss last night, it's tough to say, but they are 0-10 on the road this season.
And that's almost unbelievable. That's abysmal. And their home record is 8-4, which is not bad. And,
yeah,
and the
it's
Red
not terrible.
Bears, and we see this trend from all ISU sports, is ISU is great at home. We see that through football,
yeah.
Men's and women's basketball, baseball, softball.
Volleyball.
All those teams are great at home. But, wow, 0-10 on the road? And you can't compete like that. And then when you go down, what happens when you go down to Arch Madness and you're playing away, right?
Well, not only are you going to Arch Madness and playing away, you're going to be playing on Thursday. So you just got that added day. And it's not guaranteed. They can turn it up a little bit here in February, get some games going.
If they get something going.
If they get something going, maybe they play on Friday. But for the most part, we're looking at a Thursday. We played on Thursday last year. We saw how well that did for the Birds. it didn't
Thursday
do well at all.
And then lost Friday.
We lost Friday. It's too hard. With the competition that they're playing, it's so hard to go 4 days, let alone 3 days is what normal teams have to play. And this team all year we have seen just struggle up and down. They started out hot and towards the end have just all downhill from there. The main question that's kind of circling around this team, though, and we brought it up a little bit last week, I want to bring it up this week as well and touch on it, Dan Moeller.
Yes.
Very big contract. Loved by Illinois State alum, loved by the student and faculty here. Great person. Do you think this is a make-or-break season for him? And if they just keep losing games and they don't do well in Arch, do you think that this is it for Dan Moeller?
I think that when you look at Dan Moeller's tenure as the Redbirds head coach, he has had a lot of success on the court and actually coaching. But I think the part of his skill set that he lacks is recruiting, because we've seen a lot of talent leave. You know, Paris Lee, Keyshawn, Malik, Phil Fain, we've seen all those guys go. Those were great players for the Birds, but nobody's really came in and taken their place. Like, you can say Zach Copeland, but he's not near. You can say Zach Copeland, yeah. But he's not near where those other four guys are.
In the past, we've had depth on our bench that we could count on multiple guys. Like, the past couple years when we were here, it's been that three-headed monster of Fain, Evans, and Yarbrough. Now it's just Copeland.
But let me ask you guys a question, because we talked about in the beginning of the season, we talked about the chemistry that this team had, and that's what we kind of boasted on. We thought they were going to have a great, successful season because of the chemistry and how well that this team got along. And we brought up the fact that Malik and them, they were horrible locker room guys, and there was no chemistry with that team, but they did a little better than the team this year. So, would you rather have a team that's just full of talent and all kind of just head cases and think that they're all better than everybody, or do you want to have a team where you can kind of build on and, you know, work around like this?
Well, obviously you want both. A great team is going to have both. It's going to have guys who are generational talents who are also good leaders. We had generational talents last year, but those were guys who couldn't lead. Mm-hmm. Now we've got some good leaders. Like, we've got Zach Copeland, we've got J.C. Hillsman, guys who are like natural leaders on this team, but the problem is they're just not that good.
And they're graduating, too. They're not going to be here like long term.
This is it for Zach Copeland.
I couldn't tell you who's going to step up into that place. Like, at least last year, we looked at the guys who were ineligible because of transfer rules, and we said, okay, maybe these are going to be our guys. And we saw Zach Copeland, and we're like, okay, this is going to be our guy. And Isaac Gassman, before he transferred, it was like, okay, maybe that's the guy. But at this point, I couldn't tell you who's going to be the next man up.
You know what, a guy that sticks out to me? Number zero, DJ Horn. I think DJ Horn is a name that you hear a lot while he's playing. He's not putting up a ton of points, but he is a true point guard. He's a freshman, and I think that he's got a lot of potential to kind of take over the team maybe in a couple of years. You know, when you're getting minutes as a freshman, especially in the MVC, that's something you want to see for the future of your team. And I think there's a couple players like that on this team that can bounce back and maybe turn the team around. But for everything that we're seeing right now, it's definitely going to be a rebuild year, and they're going to have to bring in some guys in the recruiting class. This year has just been a horrible year, to say the least, for fans and for players, and it's just hard to watch.
Yeah, I would kind of say so. I mean, you kind of want teams that you can build off of, and we saw a little bit of that at the beginning of the season with DJ Horn and Antonio Reeves, two of the freshmen that were able to make an impact, and they averaged double figures for just a short period of time, but then it kind of just went down from there. So you're really going to want that impact, but it has been kind of tough to watch because they've been able to work the ball around, but they are shooting it early in their shot clock. They're not taking smart shots. You know, they don't need to play harder. They just need to play smart.
Let me ask you, I want to bring that up, Joey, because you made a good point about Zach Copeland kind of taking over this team, but not being as good as the other players that we've had in the past. Do you think that the reason he's standing out and being so good is because he's around talent that just really isn't up to his level? Because you can kind of compare that to the Chicago Bulls with LaVine. A lot of people, you know, think he's an unbelievable talent. I just think he's surrounded by poor talent around him, and that's what makes him look better.
I would agree with you, because he was the undisputed fourth man on the team last year, and that's because he was better than all the guys below him, but he was not up to the same level as the other three. Now, he's still above everybody below him. There's just nobody at that next level who's on the team, so he just looks good by comparison. But to be the best man on a team with three wins in the conference is not saying a whole lot.
And I think this ISU Redbirds team does have a lot of improvement to make. The thing is, we know that they haven't had a successful year, but there is a team last year that did not have any success through the regular season, our rival, the Bradley Braves. I think they finished last year 15-17 ended up winning.
Yeah, they were
the
like right in the middle, and then they
and
went
go.
To the tournament.
And they went,
to
the tournament, and I think they battled Michigan State pretty well. I think they lost by single digits in that game. So does this give you guys hope going into March, going into late February, for this Redbirds team to kind of, you know, make a bounce back year and, you know, maybe make some magic happen?
I think the difference between the Redbirds this year and Bradley last year was Bradley had a solid core of guys who weren't playing up to their potential. I think that the Birds might be playing up to their potential, and this is all they got.
Okay.
Yeah, I would think so. And just with some of the players that they have and the success that they've been kind of struggling to get, it's just they dug themselves a big hole that they really can't get out of. And as you mentioned at the top of the show, Scott, that it's hard to win four games in 4 days. And I think Coach Mo was talking about last year that I don't know if a team really has ever won playing on a Thursday, so it's going to be tough. They might be able to get a little bit of a run going if they can stay poised, but other than that, it's going to depend on who we're going to play. I mean, Loyal and you and I, they're both going to be top contenders. I mean, with you and I, they've only got 3 losses this year. Even though one of their losses is to us, A.J. Green's just been one of the dominant players for them, and we could see them going to the tournament as they have in the past.
And even talking about Arch Madness, even talking Thursday, we look who we would play, Missouri State. That's still, like, looking at the schedule, that's not a team I want to see. If the playoffs started today, we would play them. And I don't know if we could even beat them at this point. We've lost to them already this season. They swept us in the season series. And I don't see any hope of beating them again if we stay where we are right now.
Well, if you take a look at the schedule, we're 3-10 in conference. We have 5 games left. So at best, even if we went out from February 15th to February 29th, that takes us to 8-10. That would take us away from the Thursday game. So that is something to play for. I believe 8-10 gets you away from the playing game, right?
That's close. That's good. You're going to be sitting. Close? You're going to be sitting like 6th or 7th.
Yeah, depending on how the rest of the Valley plays.
Yeah,
out.
Valpo and Missouri State would both have to do some serious losing.
Even if they didn't get out of the playing game, okay. We talked about it. We've just mentioned that no team has ever made it from Thursday to Sunday and were victorious on Sunday. But if you win these last 5 games and you take that momentum into a tournament, we all see this. We know college basketball. We know when a team gets hot and a team gets momentum this late in the season, they can make things happen. We saw Bradley do it last year. Are the Illinois State Redbirds, do they have a chance?
Ooh. I mean, their schedule is not super strong. They've got Loyola, but other than that, they've got Valpo 6-7, Drake 6-7, Evansville without a win.
I was going to say they were
in the conference. And then Bradley, who is 8-5. So they've got 2 good teams, 2 okay teams, and a bad team.
Yeah.
So, which is not the toughest schedule in the world.
No, but 3 of these 5 games are at home. And the games that are away are against Loyola, yeah, which is going to be a tough game. That's going to be a
but
tough
then,
game for
but
sure.
But then Evansville.
And then Evansville.
I'll be there. I'll let you all know what the atmosphere is like. But, I think at the end of the day, it's going to depend on how Coach can direct them through these last games, and ultimately how he can come back after a bad season and build upon it next year.
Well, we're going to have to see how they're going to respond. As we mentioned, they're going to take on the Valparaiso Crusaders tomorrow night at home at Redbird Arena. Tip-off is set for 6 p.m. We're going to take a break. You're listening to The Red Zone.
Hi, this is Paul DeYoung, former ISU Redbird, current St. Louis Cardinal. You're listening to Red Zone on WZND.
Welcome back to the Red Zone here on the Pulse of Redbird Nation 103.3 WZND. We got Paul DeYoung bumping us back to the show. Gotta love Paul. Plays for the Cardinals, ISU alum, but it is, fellas, a perfect transition into what our news and sports guest wants to talk about this week, and that is MLB spring training.
Yeah, it's good to be back finally. It's been a long time since baseball's been here, but now they're here, and pitchers and catchers reported this week, and it's a good feeling.
I don't know about you guys, but this cold is making me want baseball to come even faster. Because it's been so cold around here, and just thinking about spring training, thinking about baseball season, I'm ready for it.
And the only bad thing about baseball season working down here is I got Ferretti here to my left, I got Scotty sitting right in front of me,
Absolutely.
And I got the beautiful Joe Kennedy sitting to my right, and that would be great, except for the fact
Can we talk about what you're wearing?
Except for the fact that I got 3 Cubs fans,
And you're only, the only
and I'm the only Southsider in here. Scott's wearing a ugly sweatshirt right now.
It's a postseason.
Yes, Scott.
I know you guys
want to
know about this for a little while. Yeah, because you guys haven't been here in 2005.
Yeah,
maybe, yeah. So,
yeah, but
so
Scott,
this is a postseason fly the W. Hey, I know you guys don't do that a lot.
How's the postseason for you last year?
We weren't there.
Yeah, we weren't there.
It was fun though. I watched. It was a good time.
Yeah, and
we were with you guys playing golf because both our seasons were.
Yeah, I don't know how much golf we were playing in October, but regardless, I'm excited because for the first time in a long time, since maybe the early 2010s, maybe before that, I am confident that the Sox are going to be the better team in Chicago this
Absolutely
year.
Absolutely not.
You can't just say you're confident, though. I mean, I agree there's a chance the White Sox can be the better team this year, but the Cubs, they still have a core in the infield of Chris Bryant, Javier Baez, Anthony Rizzo, and Contreras. They're still, currently at this time, they're still all together right now, and you just can't name a lot of infields that are better than that.
The thing is, our hitting and like you said, our fielding is what is going to be the main thing that we have. And what scares me is our bullpen. I mean, you look at our starting pitching. I think our starting pitching rotation, and Yu Darvish could have himself a year. I think that's going to be just fine. But you take a look over at our bullpen, and it is struggling. It struggled all of last year, and they haven't improved it at all this year. So
it's worse than last year.
It's worse.
As of now,
it's
probably.
Worse.
But Craig Kimball is coming back.
I think he's going to be better this year than he was
last
year.
There's no way he had his worst year ever last year. There's no way he has a worse year than he did last year.
We talked about that, too. I mean, there is a stat for pitchers that miss a whole spring training and come in into the middle of the season, which he did for the Cubs last season. They don't perform as well. All the statistics of all the players that have done it have significantly dropped. And, you know, Kimball, we saw that with him. And I just think you give him a spring training, you let him get into a rhythm, I think we're going to see the dominant pitcher that he has. I think his velocity is going to be going down, maybe 1 or 2 miles per hour, I mean, with age, but that's really not that big or significant. I think he's going to be just fine. I think our starting rotation, like I said, is going to be just fine. I think our hitting is going to be, you know, better than average. I still believe they're the best team in Chicago. I think they are one of the best teams in that division. I know the Cardinals are in that division. I know Joey's dad tuning in right now was talking a lot about them with postseason play. But I don't know. If I'm riding a hot team, and this is no biasness, I don't think Milwaukee's a problem. I think the Cardinals are going to be pretty solid. I don't think the Reds are a problem at all, even though they're the only team that gave us a hard time last year mainly. And I think the Cubs are going to battle for that 1 or 2 spot.
I'd have to wholeheartedly disagree. I think the Brewers and Cardinals are going to be the ones battling. I don't think the Cubs are going to be in contention. Looking at the South side,
the Cubs
though,
are going to be in contention?
He says they're not going to be in contention.
Not in contention at all for a playoff spot?
I think by the time we get to September, it'll be a two-team race, and the Cubs are the third team on that list for
Who
me.
Do you think the two teams are?
Milwaukee and St. Louis.
Milwaukee?
Yeah.
You're going to give Milwaukee the number 2 spot.
Yeah.
I mean, if Yelich keeps hitting dingers the way that he does,
But when has Milwaukee really pushed any teams out? Besides last year. Okay, I give them last year. But they were
was
knocked
it maybe
out.
08 when they last won the
division? When was the last
title?
Time they really made a push?
Scotty, last year. 2 years ago.
Okay, they made it to the wild card.
Yeah, they did. They have had the Cubs number the past couple of years, and the Cubs are you said it yourself. You said it yourself. The Cubs are only getting worse.
They're declining.
They're declining.
I was not the one that said that. But,
well, Joe said it.
But they are declining. There's a team, to be honest, that I'm not even worried about, or that I am worried about more than any team in our division, and that's the LA Dodgers. I don't know what happened. They just
crazy.
Rigged the MLB.
Yeah. And they just like that. It was crazy because just getting that notification that says Mookie Betts to the Dodgers, were like, wow, didn't expect that to happen because Mookie Betts was one of the. I would say maybe one of the franchise players for the White
for
Sox.
Boston. And
not White Sox, Red Sox, excuse me. And now he's going to the Dodgers. Dodgers got rid of Jock Peterson. So now they're trying to make some big moves to try and see if they can get that ring instead of just falling short like they have in years past.
They got rid of Alex Verdugo, who's actually a really good player. He was like one of those players that you either hate or you love, no matter what team or whatever team he was on. But the Angels, that Jock Peterson trade didn't go through actually a couple days ago. I don't know what happened for sure officially, but it didn't go through, so that's strange. But that trade, the Red Sox were just looking to kind of – they knew they weren't going to get him after this year because of how much money he wanted, so that's why they sent him to L.A.
Well, and bringing up some of these players that have been moved around, you do look at Mookie Betts. It's arguably, with Mike Trout, they're the two best outfielders in the league. So if I'm Boston, and they really didn't get that much in return. So, I mean, he went, you know, he's from the American League to the National League. Do you guys, I know this is a very early prediction, but do you guys believe that the Dodgers just became the best team in baseball?
Yeah, I do. With their pitching they have and the offense they have, two Bellinger and Betts on the same infield or outfield, excuse me, that's got to be the best outfield in MLB. Two of the top four outfielders.
And Bellinger kind of bounces around. He plays outfield, he plays first base. But yeah, with hitting power, I'd say they're the two best outfielders. Now, outfielding general, fielding, I don't think they are. With pitching, I think they're pitching with Ryu, Kershaw.
Walker Buehler.
Yeah. their whole five-man rotation is unbelievable. You look at their talk about their bullpen a little bit. I mean, their bullpen with their closer, Jansen.
Yeah.
I mean, they're ready. And they have been pushing for a World Series for the last, you know, 3-4 years, and they just have not gotten it done. Yeah. And
they've been able to get to the World Series, but they've come up short.
Yeah, or gone in the NLCS. Yeah, for like the past 4 years, it's kind of crazy.
And speaking of the last couple of times the Dodgers have gotten dispatched from the World Series, I don't know if you guys saw today, big apologies coming from the Astros. If you guys have been keeping
sign stealing scandal,
yeah, they're keeping tabs. They're stealing all kinds of signs. Boston got accused of it too, but Jim Crane, the owner, came out and apologized. There were a bunch of guys from the team there. Jose Altuve was sitting there. He's looking all sad with his hat on. He's like, So
And besides the manager getting fired for it, are there any other repercussions?
There was a $5 million fine.
And that was just the maximum, I think, that they could.
Does that go against the salary cap?
No.
Or is that just a fine for the team?
No, that's just a fine for the owner.
So it's a slap on the wrist.
Yeah, it is a slap on the wrist. And that's the question that I was going to ask is, do you guys think that there should be any more actions taken against the Astros for the whole scandal?
Well, that brings up so many things now.
Yeah. I think the players should get something, like at least some type of suspension. They've known for years now that they've been doing these sign-stealing things, and no one has said anything, besides Mark Fiers, but no one's said anything, like at least like a 10-game suspension, because that's just, the things they were doing were causing people to get out of the MLB. Those pitchers had their one shot against the Astros. Now it's gone. So it's just unfair to all these other teams.
Well, that brings up a question now for you guys, for me. Do you think this is one of the main reasons that the Astros have had so much success? Because they have been one of the best teams in baseball for a number of years now.
Yes and no. Cause
you still think it's the players?
They didn't do it every game. There was evidence to show that they didn't do it every single game, and they were still doing good. And they also, it was not on the road.
How much do you think it impacts your team, though?
I mean, it definitely could have helped them win a World Series for sure, because it was in the playoffs and at home. So it definitely did help them, but it wasn't always the way they were winning, I guess. Because they also did have insanely good pitching, too, last year as well.
I mean, I'm just trying to think about, like, why would they want to steal signs if they wanted to be one of the stronger teams? I mean, the year they won the World Series, they just acquired Justin Verlander, I believe, right before the playoffs, and that kind of really gave them a big push that they needed. But just, like, the thought of trying to steal signs and cheat, like, I don't get it.
And to go back to your question, Scott, I don't think that it's a weird situation for the Astros to be in, because like they obviously cheated, and so, but to attribute all of their success to the cheating, I think is a stretch, because obviously like Jose Altuve is a great player, Carlos Correa is a great player, and so that is a weird place to be as in how much did this help them out, and how much of the success can you attribute to all the cheating?
I just think it leaves a sore taste in my mouth when I hear of a team cheating. I think any sport, any athlete, when you even hear about a fighter taking steroids, or you hear about Barry Bonds, we bring it back to baseball with all his home runs that he hit when we know that he was on steroids, I think it just takes away from that franchise. Like, they won that World Series, they've been so dominant, And I think just this cheating scandal takes that away. You look at the Flategate with the Patriots.
The Patriots, yeah.
It's so many things like that, minor details from these teams that I feel like put a damper on all the success that they've had. And you can even compare it back to college basketball with the recruiting violations there. And then are they getting stripped of their, or if players are taking money under the table, and then those players are getting stripped of their, you know, achievements. I think, like I said, I think that there should be something. To be honest, you look at that. That's actually a very good point. You look at college teams that get stripped of their, you know, NCAA tournaments or whatever. Do you think that because they cheated, do you think the Astros should get stripped of their World Series title?
I feel like they should, to be honest. Because
I think so.
I think they were doing it in the playoffs, especially for the most part. Almost every home game they were doing it in the playoffs. And that's just not acceptable because they know exactly every single pitch that's coming towards them. So that's, I think they deserve it to get it taken away.
From I think any cheating.
Yeah, I would think so, because if you want to be a team that wants to win the championship, you got to do so being a team that doesn't cheat and playing smart. Like, if you want to, like, steal the signs, you have to think, though, of the teams that you're playing, like, okay, what pitches are they going to throw? How are they going to shift their infield and outfield? And how can I use that to my momentum or, like, the velocity of the park? Like, they have a lot of game playing that goes into it. Like,
true. The only thing, I'm going to go back and forth with myself here. The only reason that I think cheating is very hard in baseball is even if there is cheating and you know the call, you know what pitch is coming, it's baseball. That ball's still coming in the 90s. It's still, like, going to be a curve on it.
Obviously,
movement on it.
You're not gonna have guys in the league who can't play.
100%.
Like, that's what I was trying to say, is they still are good players. But if you're a great player and
it gives you an edge,
and you know what pitch is coming, it's like you're taking steroids every at bat. And, like, people have gotten stripped for titles for less. And for me, it just kind of strips away the integrity of the game.
Yeah, it does. And there's been a lot of cheating in the game of baseball. And I thought that it was over, and it's still here.
What do you think is worse, a sign stealing or using steroids? Like, which one? Which one's worse?
I believe they're two totally different things, because one is a team doing it. So one's benefiting the whole team. And one of them is benefiting a player that is going for stats and going for his personal gain. So I think that a whole team cheating is a little bit more of a scandal than steroids. Don't get me wrong. I think steroids is one of the worst things you could do as a player, and I think you should be discredited for every stat that you possibly had with that. I 100% take that to a T.
I'm so excited because I'm going to make Scott so mad right here.
Oh, boy.
Oh, man.
But the steroid era for baseball is so fun. It was so fun, it was undeniably good for baseball. Those players were extremely fun to watch, and so even though they were cheating, it's like tell me it's not fun to watch Mark McGwire crush one into the 500s.
Listen, this isn't the Looney Tunes. we're not watching the Monstars here on their little juice where they're up, you know, 20 feet in the air. Like, I don't want to see players juiced. It's unfair, and it's taking away. It's unhealthy, and it's taking away from the sport. Play the sport right. Don't cheat. And you're the best talent in the world. You're one of the best players in the world.
One last thing, though, is that the people with the steroids, they don't know what type of pitch is coming, so it's not like they know.
Yeah, but when they get a piece of it,
when they get a piece, they're not always going to get a piece. So you still have to have that good hand-eye coordination.
100%, but if you're good and you get that extra, you know, boost, that ball's going to fly.
Yeah, like someone like Aaron Judge sitting like past 500, you got to know something's going on, even though that guy's insanely strong. Well, we are going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll have the newscast and then sit down with Lexi Wallen from Redbird Women's Basketball. Stay with us. You're listening to The Red Zone here on the Pulse of Redbird Nation, 103.3 WZND.
Hey, this is Dickie V, baby, and you're listening to The Red Zone, baby, only on 103.3 WZMD.
Welcome back to The Red Zone. Joey Dwyer with you now, and I've got Scott Rosala to my left. And joining us in the studio now is Illinois State Women's Basketball's Lexi Wallen. Lexi, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Lexi, how's your day been so far? Because I feel like you just had practice. I'm sure you're probably tired from that. And you had to come in the cold all the way back here. So just kind of tell us about your day. What's been going on?
Yeah, it's been good. I just had class earlier today, two classes. I had a little test. I think it went well. And then went straight to practice and then came straight here. So, yeah.
You know, that's decent. That doesn't sound like a bad day to me.
No. But the real question is, have you eaten yet?
Oh, my God.
Because I'm sure you're probably hungry.
A little bit. Yeah, I had some lunch. Yeah, I had a little bit. I haven't eaten dinner yet, though, so I'm looking forward to that. Yeah. After this.
I am right there with you because I've been stuck here literally since 11 a.m., yeah. And I have not gotten to eat today, and so I'm, like, all wired. I just cannot sit still. Yeah. I'm counting down the minutes. It's like it's like 42 minutes till I get to eat dinner, so I am so excited.
Well, tomorrow's a big day. Tomorrow's a big day. For a lot of reasons. First reason, it's Valentine's Day. So I don't know. I already got some plans going on. I know Joey's got some plans going on. Lexi, do you have anything besides a game, a very big game, do you have any plans for tomorrow?
No. My plans are just to get the win.
Just
to
get the win. Hey, you're focused on that.
What a great answer, though. What a great answer.
I'm sure all the listeners are very appreciative of that answer as well.
So talking a little bit about the game tomorrow and just how the season has gone on so far, how is your comfort level this year compared to last year? As far as the transition from, obviously, you were a four-year volleyball athlete here. Now you're in your second year of basketball. So how has the transition gone, and has this season made it any easier on you?
Yeah, just definitely having the off season to get everything back was great for me. I was rushed into it last year, and as you could tell, like, my play was a little bit helter-skelter here and there, whatever. But, yeah, I think this year I've really been a little more comfortable and just been able to play a little bit more freely and with more confidence, so it's been really good.
And what were some of the main reasons? I'm sure you've been asked this a lot. What were some of the main reasons for the switch?
From volleyball to basketball?
Yeah.
There's no really big reason. Just obviously they were in they had a lot of injuries, so they kind of needed players. So that was probably the main reason. It's probably the only reason that I really was taken seriously and considered. But yeah, I loved basketball in high school. I almost tried to pursue it in college. It was kind of I didn't really know for a while and finally decided with volleyball. So, yeah, it's always been kind of – I always missed it. I missed it throughout college. And so when the opportunity was there, I jumped on it.
And now that you're in your second season, you're obviously a senior here at ISU. Do you feel like you've stepped into a little bit more of a leadership role on the team?
Yeah, for sure. I'm one of the captains along with Paige Taylor and Megan Talbot. So I've kind of been able to be a little bit more of a – scoring threat and also help my team with leadership.
And when you kind of made that transition and came to basketball, did you have any teammates that really kind of took you under their wing and kind of mentored you to feel comfortable on this team?
Yeah, I would say everyone, guards and posts, all the coaches, everyone was so welcoming and did everything in their power to help me learn the plays as fast as possible, help me with understanding what they expect on offense and defense. And yeah, I wouldn't say probably anyone specifically, but everyone in general was just way more helpful than I could have ever expected.
What do you think your biggest obstacle has been with the change and stuff that you really had to adapt to?
There's a lot of more scouting and just understanding the personnel of the other team. You have to be a little bit more locked into that, and learning the plays was really tough. I had to learn them within a span of 2 weeks or else I really couldn't get in the game, so that was challenging at first. But other than that, yeah, it's just been really cool and fun and challenging, but exciting, and yeah, I've enjoyed it.
And how has, as the season has gone on, how has the team's chemistry started to come together? Because obviously you've been doing some good things on the court lately, and how much do you attribute to the team playing as a unit?
Yeah, we went to Italy as a team in the summer, so that really kick-started our chemistry. We got to play a little bit there, but we mostly just got to spend a lot of time with each other and with the coaches, outside of basketball. So that was super cool and gave us more of a comfort level coming into the season. And I think all throughout preseason we built a good foundation. And lately I think we're 5-5 in conference right now, but our coach always says, we've been playing super well. Our conference is just really tough. So, yeah, so we're happy with where we are.
And I was going to say, to touch up on that a little bit, how do you feel about your team's chemistry this late in the season, with a lot of things coming up?
Yeah, we've gotten a few losses, Drake, Bradley. Those losses were tough, but, we really played pretty well in them, and we can't hang our heads too much and just know that the other team was pretty good, and maybe next time around we'll get them, so... Yeah.
And earlier you mentioned how competitive the Valley is, and it really is, especially this year. But just looking at some of the collective team stats, the Redbirds are third in the league total defense. And so I saw that, and I was curious as to how much focus you've put on defense in practices in the season, in games, how much of the game plan is that to really have a stout defense?
We put so much emphasis on defense. Like, that's the thing we practice before offense every single day. We do a lot of scouting, and Coach G and the staff is huge on defense, and that's kind of what we built our foundation on. So, yeah, defense is a huge part of what we do every single day in practice.
And with Hoops and the Heartland coming up in a couple weeks, what do you guys think you really need to kind of fix and patch up going into that?
Yeah, I think we just need to piece together. I think we've been playing really great defense. We've had some scoring droughts here and there, so we just need to make sure that games that our defense is locked in, that our offense is still producing, and vice versa. If we're scoring, we still need to be locked in on defense. So I think that we just need to piece both those together, and we'll be fine.
And I always ask this question because it's always something on the top of my head when I'm talking to an elite athlete. And even growing up playing sports and what I'm doing now, I always look up to certain people and to kind of get me to where I'm at. Have you had any role models, whether it's a coach, family members, or someone famous that you've watched that kind of got you to where you are today, and you kind of rolled yourself after that?
I always played sports with my siblings growing up, so that was kind of someone who they both always pushed me to become better. I played basketball with my sister in high school, and I always looked up to her. So, yeah, I had some cousins that also played in college, so it's always just kind of like been part of my family and what we do, and I've just grown up doing that. So that's been kind of just where I am, how I got here, I think.
And we were talking before we did the interview, because we know both of your other siblings played sports. Your brother's now at Wesleyan playing basketball. And we just want to know, if you guys are like having, in the driveway, like having a family game of 21, who's coming away with the win?
21? I mean, probably my brother at this point, but...
Ooh, I didn't expect that.
We haven't played against each other in a long time, but yeah, it was pretty competitive back in the day, but yeah, it'd be interesting to see where it goes now. But maybe like set shooting horse, my sister pig or whatever. My sister is pretty.
Okay,
really? She's the sharpshooter of the family.
Yeah, so I don't know.
That sounds like a nasty three squad. I wouldn't want to see you guys out on the court. Yeah. That's for sure.
No, and for anybody that doesn't have siblings, I don't think they understand the competitiveness that comes from growing up. That's where you really get that grit. It comes from having brothers and sisters that really play against you and kind of mold you into the player that you are. And I'm glad that you said that. So for all the listeners out there right now, for all the young listeners that aspire to be like you one day, do you kind of have any advice for them to kind of, the ones that want to be in your shoes and play college basketball? What would you kind of say to them to get them there that you wish someone told you when you were younger?
I would say just always try to be the best teammate you can be, because that's something that you can control, and that you'll make the people better around you, and that will make you better. And just kind of never take no for an answer, never accept failure, and just work your hardest every single day, because that's really all that you can control, and the rest will take care of itself.
I like that answer a lot.
That's wise words.
And to kind of bring things down a little bit. We talked a lot about basketball. How about we get some personal questions from Lexi? So this is just kind of off the top of the head. Are you a big Netflix watcher? Do you like to kind of calm down after games?
Yeah, lately.
Okay. What are some of the shows you're watching on Netflix?
The most recent thing I watched was The Pharmacist. Have you guys seen that?
I know. I've not
seen Pharmacist?
It's kind of new.
Our boy Joe Kennedy is over there. Is it good, Joe?
It's pretty cool.
Joe says it's good.
What's it about? Because I'm a big movie guy, big TV show guy.
It's kind of this dad who helps solve his son's murder, and then he takes it upon himself to kind of... Well, it's kind of difficult to explain. It's kind of... I like those kind of shows, investigative.
It sounds like a crime drama.
Five episode.
Okay.
Yeah, but it's based off... It's like a documentary.
Have you been watching, I know it's what's been big right now, are you a big Bachelor person?
Yeah, sadly. I do keep up.
How do you, who's the main guy?
Peter.
It's Peter. Yeah. How do you feel about Peter? Because I know a lot of people, there's a lot of controversy. A lot of people are saying that he's not as well liked as all the other ones. And obviously we have Colton and all them too, but.
Yeah, he likes the drama, I think, so. Yeah. That's what people are kind of enraged about right now, but yeah.
Do you have a favorite girl that's on the show? That you're rooting for.
I'm kind of with the people. I don't really like this season, so I don't really.
Yeah, this season's been a little whack. I stopped watching because I would watch. I would go. My girlfriend and I would watch it, and I lost interest. Like it's just not. It's not as riveting. Like there are so many good dating shows. Exactly.
Yeah.
And you're a big, but you love drama.
I do, have you ever seen Love Island?
No.
Oh, you haven't seen that one on Hulu?
I have not.
If you have Hulu, that's what you got to watch, because it's like. it's kind of like, it's like Bachelor in Paradise.
Okay, yeah,
it's just extremely edited.
And there's an episode every day. they condense days, like it's every day for like 8 weeks, and they're all super British, and it's so funny. Like I cannot recommend that enough. But hopping on basketball again really quick, because we're almost out of time. You guys play Loyola here tomorrow, and then Valparaiso in the Play for K-Day on Sunday. And I was just wondering, you guys are 9-2 at home this season. How important is it for the ISU faithful to get out and support every time you guys have a home game?
Yeah, it's super important. This weekend is huge for us. And especially Sunday, it's for a really good cause. We're doing the Play for K game to support cancer research. And so, yeah, if you want to come see us or just support that, it's a really big weekend for us. And we really need these two wins, so please come.
Well, Lexi, thank you so much again. And make sure you get out to support the ISU women's basketball team tomorrow. They're playing in Redbird Arena, taking on the Loyola Chicago Ramblers. That's at 7 p.m. We are going to take a quick break, but don't go anywhere. You're listening to The Red Zone on 103.3 WZND.
This is Steph Jankowicz from Redbird Volleyball, and you're listening to The Red Zone on 103.3 WZND.
Welcome back to the Red Zone. Anthony Freddy joined alongside Scott Rosalyn, Joey Dwyer, and Lexi Wong. That was a really good interview. She had a lot of good things to say, and just a really busy day for her. She had class and then practice, and then she had to run over here.
She had a test,
too.
Didn't she bring the test?
You know, I'm just jealous that she's about to go eat, because I'm sitting here starving. I'm so hungry. I was so close to skipping class and going to get food today, and our faculty advisor, Steve Sees, he caught me saying it in the hallway, and he's like, Joey, I better see you in class. And
That's tough. That's always tough to work with your advisors.
You gotta keep it down around Steve, because otherwise he'll know the motives.
Let me ask you guys, because I talked to a lot of people.
Yeah.
And we all have meal plans here, correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
What's better? Because this is the main question that goes around.
Oh, boy.
Waterson or Try?
It's Try.
Is it Try every time?
Try all day. Patty Melts? Stop it.
Oh my goodness.
Mongo?
So good.
Get some Mongo? Stop it.
Little Mongolian?
Stop it.
No, no, no.
It's too good.
You want to know my gripe about the Mongolian grill at
this
Try?
This is going to be something dumb. This is going to be something dumb.
I'm serious now.
Scott, you've been on a roll today. You've said a lot of smart things. This is where it ends.
I want you guys to hear me out. There has not been, and I remember last year, and I remember even maybe the beginning of this year, my favorite sauce when it comes to Mongolian is teriyaki. They have not had teriyaki in the last, 3 months. I don't know where it went. I don't know if the bus just stopped shipping it in. But I'm a little rattled. I might bring some of my own and be like, can you just throw this on? You guys throw it on the grill.
Scotty shows up with a Tupperware container full of teriyaki. Throw this in the back.
I'm serious.
For me,
I'm going to bring it in. I'm going to pour it on myself. Big. Here you go.
Oh my goodness.
We're all looking around at each other.
I feel like we're getting hungry.
I feel like we should be like the State Farm Hall of Business, where we have a restaurant.
We just did renovations, Freddie.
And
where's our restaurant? They couldn't have put in a restaurant.
I know.
Even if they were serving little wraps. But you know, I cannot survive.
Like a Dunkin' Donuts.
I cannot survive off of Cheez-Its and Gardetto's, boys. I'm losing my mind.
For all the listeners out there, every single day before this show, Joey Dwyer, around 5:45, he gets up from his chair, he walks away. I don't have to ask where he's going. I know exactly where he's going. He's going upstairs, he's going to that vending machine, and he's getting himself some Cheez-Its.
And usually it's an apple
and
juice.
Usually an apple
and
usually
an apple juice. Yeah.
Oh my goodness, I'm losing my mind, boys. I'm losing my mind. But hey, let's get back to sports.
Yeah, I think we should. We got our last segment, probably the best segment in sports talk radio. Scott, hit that bump.
It's the 3-Up, 3-Down.
3-Up, 3-Down.
Only on the Pulse of Redbird Nation. 103.3 WZND.
It is the 3-Up, 3-Down here on the Red Zone. So just to recap how this goes down, we pick six men's college basketball games. Three of them got to be favorites. Three of them got to be underdogs. At least one Valley game and only one Up game can go above 80%. This is by ESPN's Matchup Predictor. Let's take a look at the standings after week four. Rounding out the bottom is the Guests. They are 7-11.
Which is pretty typical. It's typical.
Typical for the Guests to kind of stink.
Comeback season, Joe?
Yeah.
And then
going 6-0 this week.
It's a bold prediction. And then we got Scott 10-14 in fourth place.
I'm a comeback kid.
Hey, that's tough.
They don't call me the comeback kid.
That's four games under 500.
They don't call me the comeback kid.
Hey, Scotty, once you dip under 500, you might as well kiss goodbye.
And then Joey, you were not here last week, so Mitch filled in for you.
And he let me down. He let me down. 2-4.
You are 12-12, right in the middle of the pack. And then we got our faculty advisor Steve Cece 6-8, and then I am up top once again 17-7.
Hey, and that's mad respect, Freddie.
Listen, that is. Hey,
yeah.
Let me ask you a question.
Yes.
How long in preparation do you pick your picks? Do you look up and pick your picks? Do you do it before? Because I do mine the day of. I'll be honest.
I'm sitting here at 5:15 right before I go get my Cheez-Its. I'm sitting here doing my picks.
Yeah, I'll do mine the day of or like my office hours that I have. I'll just go on the computer and look up some matchups for ESPN. I don't know. Occasionally, if I have a ton of free time, I might do it like the day before. But that's kind of how I go. Like, I don't just go like 10 minutes before the show and like, oh boy, I've got to get this pick and this pick.
Okay.
So
I feel like he's coming for our brand a little bit.
I feel good about these.
Yeah. All right.
I feel good about these
picks. So let's just get started, shall we? We'll start with our up games. My first one is Oregon over Colorado. Oregon, a 71.4% chance to win.
My first up game is going to be Louisville over Clemson. That game is at 72.3%. I got Louisville.
My first up is going to be Baylor over West Virginia. Baylor has a 74% chance to win that one.
Ferretti, I'm going to ride with you, ride with the mob. We got Oregon versus Colorado. Love me some Ducks basketball, so I think that's a lock.
Good pick. Got to love the Pac-12. Steve sees his first pick is the Dayton Flyers over VCU at 60.1%. My second pick, it is the over 80 pick. It is the Northern Kentucky Norse over IUPUI, 96.1%.
Okay, Anth, I'll keep the over 80 pick trend going. I got Kentucky over Ole Miss at 86.7. There are my second up pick, and that, I think, is a lock.
All right, I'm going to go over the 82. I'll do Penn State over in Northwestern, 94%.
And I can't be the only one not going with my over 80. So, Scotty, I'm riding with you, Kentucky over Ole Miss. Okay. I think UK basketball they're on a roll right now, so I'm impressed.
I think they are. Steve sees his over 80 pick is CSU Bakersfield over Chicago State.
God, if he could pick just like I think Steve might be allergic to picking like the Big Ten.
100%.
Any major conference. Because some of these games are straight out the woodwork.
Yeah, in CSU Bakersfield, they got a 99.2% chance to win. So basically just show up on the court, dribble a basketball, and you got the win. My last up pick, we're going to the Big Ten. We got Wisconsin, the Badger State, over the Nebraska Cornhuskers, 76.7%.
Not only is this my last up pick, it is my MVC pick. It's a kind of a close one, but I have UNI over Loyola, and that game is only at a 51%.
Ooh.
So it's gonna be a close one, but I believe in them. I believe
teams
in
the Valley.
I was looking at that one too, Scott, but I'm gonna go with another Missouri Valley game. I'm gonna take Bradley over Missouri State, 75%.
And my last over, I just was not original this week, boys. This is a Joe Kennedy Express pick right here. I got Baylor taking over West Virginia, 74.2%.
Steve Cease's last up pick is San Diego State over Boise State. San Diego State, only NCAA team to not lose a game. Still got a goose egg in that loss column. Now we go to our down picks. My first down pick, this is a bold one the way they've been playing. Illinois State.
Okay.
Over Valparaiso.
Wow.
This Saturday game. Illinois State, 48.2%. ESPN has that as a 50-50 game.
Okay. I'm going to give you my first down pick. It's going to be Iowa over Indiana. Love my Big Ten basketball. Love that Big Ten matchup. That game is at 48.7%.
Scott, you read my mind with that one. I'm going to be taking Iowa over Indiana as well.
Iowa's my home state, and not a big Hawkeye boy, though, so I'm going to keep with the theme, kind of. My first down game is going to be Texas beating Iowa State. They've got a 35.8% chance to do so.
You know, let's just stick with the Iowa-Indiana trend. Steve is taking Iowa over Indiana, 51.3%.
Nah, forget y'all. I'm over it. I'm over it. I'm not even mad.
second down pick. I got Tennessee over South Carolina, a little SEC matchup, 46.2%.
This one scares me. My second down pick, Colorado over Oregon. That game is at 28.6%. They're both ranked, and that game's actually tonight, so you can catch that around 7 o'clock or 8 o'clock.
My other down pick will be Illinois over Rutgers on Saturday at 36% chance for Illinois.
I really wanted to pick that Illinois-Rutgers game, but I had to go with Navy. They're hosting Boston University, 46.7%. And I don't have any faith in Boston. I think Navy's going to go down there, and they're going to do what the Navy does.
Second down pick for Steve. He is taking the Loyola Ramblers over Northern Iowa, so the exact opposite of what you picked. 51.9%. My final pick is Iowa over Minnesota, 42.7%.
And I'm going to give you my last down pick here. It's another Big Ten matchup. You know I love my Big Ten basketball. Maryland over Michigan State. That game is at 24.6%. I know Michigan State's coming off that big win to U of I just this past earlier in the week. But I believe in Maryland. They're one of my favorite teams in the Big Ten. I think they're going to get it done.
Scott, same exact pick here. Maryland's one of the best teams in the nation.
For my last pick, I'm going to go with Steve Cease, Loyola over UNI. That's my Missouri Valley pick. That's a very close game, and I think it's going to be a good one.
It is going to be a nail-biter. Steve's last pick is the Southern Illinois Salukis over the Bradley Braves, 56.1%. So he's actually got two Valley games.
Wow, he's an overachiever. Yeah. But he's in second place. So.
Playing the game, yeah. He wants to go 4-2, and I know he's anxious to take me down for that top dog spot. So we'll see how this goes this week. That will just about wrap it up for our show for this week's edition. Big thank you to news and sports guest Joe Kennedy for being on the show talking some MLB spring training. Then also a big thank you to Lexi Wallen from Redbird Women's Basketball trying to fit us in with the very busy day that she had coming from practice. If you missed any portion of tonight's show, the entire podcast will be available online shortly at WZND.com. Don't forget to head to at WZND Sports on Twitter and take part in our weekly poll, which is in honor of baseball starting. Which team are you going to be repping? The Cubs, the Sox, the Cardinals, or other? Well, for Scott Rosala, Joey Dwyer, Joe Kennedy, I'm Anthony Ferretti. You have been listening to The Red Zone here on 103.3 WZND, the pulse of Redbird Nation.
To hear this and other past episodes of The Red Zone again, download the Red Zone podcast online at WZND.com or on iTunes. And, of course, tune into The Red Zone every Thursday at 6 right here on 103.3 WZND,
the pulse of Redbird Nation.